And next, but not least, I suppose, is the final section that we're going to do, and it's a quick one. This is the actual... we were talking about translation and what it means to translate intimacy, and I don't think it can stretch that far. We have different languages, as Shahrazad mentioned, and...
We're not just talking about language from the point of view of verbal language, but we just have different languages in the kind of people we are. And I think each person then eventually becomes a language in how we express ourselves. And this is an example of how, as people, as different languages, as human beings, the language of bodies, of laughter, of sadness, how does that translate from one to the other and back? So that was the idea, and it's called Cadaver Exposito, obviously as a flippant or somewhat flippant twist on Cadaver Exposito, because we always feel that we are whittling and we're trying to create this blind poem every time we speak with each other, and that's how we came about with the name. And this activity primarily started with Greg getting to a point of frustration where he said, can you please tell me what that word in Urdu was? Can you please tell me what that word in Catalan or Spanish was? And I started sending him words without telling him what they meant. And I asked him to interpret it for himself, what he thought the word meant. And that eventually led to him trying to figure out, by just looking at the word, what it could have meant. And surprisingly, sometimes he was really close, and surprisingly, sometimes he was so off the bat that it was just hilarious for me. So. It started with sentences, and I would insert the words in sentences just to throw him off a little bit and see if he could interpret it. My shadows ruin the retrogrades of Saturn. Fata Morgana in a zodiac of mirrors. Now you, the sensorium of roadmaps, tabula rasa for muscle memory, define an ux. Ux is the Urdu word that he was supposed to define.
What is an ux? Does anybody know what that word means, by the way? No?
No.
Okay. I think it'd be funny if someone already knew. I like the idea of tracing where humans have sat. Where humans have been down on their backs or their sides or their bellies. I think that we can share these things and feel safe. I think that we can know the safety as we know the things themselves. The results can be made aware as the activities can be. Eating potato chips, reading the stability of Google Maps. It's the tab I keep open, often referring to it like the kisses of so many women through so many years. Well, at least 16 years. At some point, there's an uttered veteran quality. There's something mature in the way it sits within us. Like we've done it before. We've walked, we've traveled, we've planned, we've allowed, we've kissed, fucked, held on. All this shit amounting to coming together and becoming together. There's something that sounds like ux in it. But I don't know what it is. Nor do I need to. It happens with our awareness, or without our awareness, despite our awareness.
Ux essentially means reflection in Urdu. So he had no idea what ux meant, but he translated it pretty close, because he said, I like knowing where humans have sat, where people have been before. And essentially, after he wrote this and I spoke with him, he said, I want to understand how people are reflected against other people. If song is syncope, if the mouth is a brisk illusion of cinnabar, if touch is saudachi of hair, loosened from the afterlife of a conch shell, then what is dhuan? What hypnosis of Shiva feebles the riverbanks? Whose riven temples alter us? The Urdu word was dhuan, which he was supposed to interpret.
What is dhuan? We live once. All the other people are wrong. So let's just live once and be done with it. The idea of turning over in our graves or beginning again with some new glimpse of light is just bullshit. It allows us to redeem ourselves in the now, to understand that the river is not endless, not some fantastical loop from the netherworld within the mountains. No, it is once and only once, and then it dries, and it is a memory that is held by no one. I like the idea of the finite. I like the idea of the once and future image, the one that sits around in subtle mortality, something that's quiet but shared, something that's peaceful, like waves, even when they are uproarious or erupting, even when there's no sunrise or sunset, just blank and buzzing. That's what I hear when I hear the word duan. I hear a complacency of meeting life down the middle, like a button-up shirt.
Duan means smoke. So this was as far away from the translation as can be. Language is a refractory embellishment, a serration of rain, yellow staining the thinnest trestle of a tin roof, time's true organism, a bella moth embroidered on my grandmother's pillowcase. I bring you a language of shameless yellow, Alfonso mangoes, turmeric clotting in almond milk, banana fritters bubbling in hot coconut oil, the sleepless faith of mustard seeds. Unapologetically and without you, my world is a tiny child choking on a small plastic toy. What do you know of high shame? Of sun's laughter splintered across a cobblestone in the shape of orange blossoms.
Quiet shame. It's true that one can go on living in their own sulking methods. I'm into it. I believe in solitary confinement. I believe in the moment when there's nothing but blunt force to hold on to. I'm into it. But I'm into the idea of giving back as I am receiving, where one body is not and two bodies are. I'm into the idea of the dance, or dancing in general. I think that is what comes to my mind when I think of Kuaishin. It is as much about swirling around in circles and trying not to step on heels as it is about following rhythm and looking at the thing as a whole. It's cool. It's always cool. It's never not cool. This word, this concept, this world of movement, it's never uncanny. It's always reckoned with. It's always the thing you do before you go to sleep in your imagination, in an attempt to get your heart rate down, after thinking about poverty or jealousy or trying to get over the images of brutality and horror. Yeah, it's there, the way we're there, and it's more than a murmur, and it's traceable within the beats of the veins and arteries that fill the body with some kind of blood.
Huaishe is a word that is very difficult to translate because it stands for both desires and hopes. And very rarely do we have a word which can stand for desire and hope. So depending on the context, it can mean desire as well as hope.
Okay, I think that's good for today. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you again, Collier. She connected to us through our friend Amaranth Borsuk, who runs a lot of really amazing digital humanities projects in Bothell, Washington, outside of Seattle, MFA program there. And thank you to Jave as well, and thank you to all for being here, and I guess now turn it over to you.
Yeah, we saw Amaranth right there.
Oh, okay.
A couple of years ago. Yeah, she was here for a conference, which is how I think we all
know her. If you're ever in Seattle, come say hello.
I would also like to congratulate you on somehow having thoroughly matched the space in your color scheme. I think you guys managed to do that. You look amazing at this as well.